It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get our weekly look into what Congress is up to with Paul Singer of USA Today.
First, new reports out this week could shed some light on why the Great Lakes are experiencing very low water levels.
According to our next guest, the lakes, along with other bodies of water, experience natural 10-year cycles of ebbing and flowing, but recent evidence suggests that the cycle might be broken. But why?
Joining us now is Carl Watrous, research scientist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Carl, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, first, tell us, please, about this 10-year cycle and the research you've been doing looking at that.
Well, technically, it's about a 13-year cycle, but let's not quibble. We began thinking about this in about 2005, 2006, when our local lake levels up here in Valles County were dropping precipitously. And so we stumbled on a data set that extended back 70 years for these small lakes, and they showed this oscillation. And then we compared that oscillation in our little lakes to Lake Michigan Huron, and they were virtually the same. And then we got a little bolder and decided to look at their groundwater tables as well, and they were fluctuating the same way. So we put together several pieces of a puzzle and were able to detect a signal that's pretty much region-wide.
Why are those all, the groundwater, the small lakes, the Great Lakes, in sync with each other on that cycle?
Well, that's a good question. We think it's because there is a major driver that's affecting everything the same. So even though the lakes and the groundwaters and these huge lakes have different hydrologic budgets, there's one factor that overrides all those detailed differences. And that factor, it turns out, is the difference between precipitation and evaporation. That's called the net atmospheric flux of water. So as that varies in time, we see our lakes rise and fall. And that variability seems to be oscillating at a frequency of about 13 years, at least up till roughly 1990, 1998.
Right, and that's where I want to pick up, that it seems like we're starting, if I'm reading it right, to break that 13-year cycle.
Right. The Lake Michigan Huron dropped at the fastest rate ever observed, and there's a very long record there. Beginning about that time, and it reached its lowest level ever recorded in about 2013, and our lakes were doing the same thing. And quite frankly, we don't know why that's happened. Something has changed in this signal that's been driven by precipitation and evaporation. And data from some of our other colleagues suggests that the evaporation signal may be coming much stronger.
Is that 13-year cycle a pattern of climate, and is it possible that climate change is disrupting that 13-year cycle?
Well, it's definitely climatic. There's an atmospheric phenomenon that starts in the central North Pacific near Japan. And it generates a wave train that moves across the Pacific up into North America, across our area, and then out into the North Atlantic. It's similar to the jet stream, but it's located in a different place in the atmosphere. And that's what determines the storm tracks around our region and across North America. And when that's set up the right way, our water levels rise. And they rise because the moisture from the Gulf of Mexico is swept into our region, and we see more precipitation and less evaporation. Now, when it's not set up that way, our lakes fall because we're getting more evaporation and less precipitation. What we have are correlations between that and our lake levels, so it would suggest that something's changed in that in that atmospheric process.
And is that change what we would point to and say, this is global warming, this is climate change?
That's a big step. Mm-hmm. We don't really know whether things have changed for the long run or whether this is just kind of a hiccup in what's happened in the past. And really, only time's going to be able to answer that question.
One thing that I've seen people blame is not that cycle of precipitation and evaporation, but human activity, widening channels leading out of the Great Lakes into the St. Lawrence Seaway, letting too much water out of the Great Lakes. You don't see that as a main factor?
Well, since our little lakes are behaving the same way as that huge lake and our groundwaters are doing the same thing, it seems unlikely that that's the cause for the recent very low water levels. It may be a contributing factor, but the big factor is something else. It's something related to climate.
We're in the midst of a very cold winter, high ice levels, much higher than we've seen in a while. How does that affect the water levels in the lakes?
Well, they bounced back. They bounced back last summer, but they haven't bounced back to where they normally are. They're still well below their long-term averages and way below their long-term peaks. So it's helping, and we expect these sorts of things to occur over time. We'll see things rebounding and then dropping again and rebounding. And the question really is, are we ever going to get back to our old cycle? And as I mentioned, our crystal ball doesn't let us look that far ahead.
What are the implications if we don't bounce back to that level for the environment and maybe for the economy?
Well, lakes are certainly a big part of the economy up north, and we are in a very water-rich region. We depend heavily on our water. Less of it is probably not a good thing. There was an interesting study that came out just before ours by researchers at the Center for Limnology that demonstrated how these low water levels affect fish populations. If you look at photographs of these northern lakes, you see that the coarse woody habitat, the fallen trees that are in the near shore and serve as critical habitat for fish, were exposed. So that habitat was eliminated, and that study demonstrated that the fisheries can be greatly impacted by these water level fluctuations, in particular low water levels.
Well, it's the nature of research often that one answer generates a dozen questions. What questions are you excited to research next? What research do you think needs to be done now?
Well, I think this study focused a lot of attention on evaporation. We're really good at measuring precipitation, and we've been doing it for a long, long time. But we're just beginning to develop the tools to measure evaporation. It's particularly difficult to measure evaporation from a huge lake like Lake Michigan, Huron, or Lake Superior. Our smaller lakes are a bit easier, so we're hoping to develop tools on these smaller lakes that will help us understand what's going on with the bigger lakes as well.
Carl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Carl Watrous. He's a research scientist with the Wisconsin DNR.